Matthew chapter 2. If you can't enjoy a church, you can't enjoy nothing. I'm having a good time. We've been worshiping. We have a family here. Yeah. Matthew 2. I preached in this story about 100 times, and it's going to be 101 today. Got another thought out of this story in Matthew chapter 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Jesus should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least of the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." Liar. And when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Amen. Woo! Praise God. That's a sermon right there. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Our Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture, inspired Scripture. Help me preach today like I've never preached before. Lord, I feel physically good this morning. I pray, God, that you will enhance that. But I want you to just work in my mind and help me to say that which I should and keep that which I shouldn't in my mouth. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. In the previous verses or the chapter, in chapter number 1, we know it talks about the conception and the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want all y'all to know, he was not conceived like you and I were. Somebody help me. Are y'all dying on me? He was not conceived like you and I were. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. No man had nothing to do with that. Somebody help me preach. Well, a bunch of liberals out there today that's trying to change these. I remember years ago, I don't mean to get on this preacher, but I'm going to go ahead and hit it anyway. I remember years ago, I had a guy mad at me. You know, people get mad, you know. They stay mad. But anyway, I'm good about getting mad. But anyhow, this old boy challenged me. He got right in my face. I don't like people in my face. He got right in my face, you know, and put that finger up in my face. He said, "I want you to know something. Such and such school in Beckley says that he was born of a good woman and not a virgin." And I said, "Well, such and such school are heretics."
Amen.
Somebody help me.
Amen.
He said, you better get that translation of the Bible that says it was a fair woman or a good woman. No, 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 no. My Bible says he was born of a virgin. God bypassed. Oh, now you said, I can't believe that. I can't. By the way, if you can't believe that, you can't believe you're saved. Somebody say amen. That was supernatural. And when you got saved, that was supernatural. And I still believe in the supernatural. Amen. Woo! And by the way, I'm tired of hearing about Xmas. This season is Christmas. There's three groups here I want to talk about by way of introduction. First of all, talk about Herod. What he thought about Jesus. I'll tell you what he thought about Jesus. Jesus was a threat. By the way, you ain't doing right, he's a threat. Come on, help me. And then we have the wise men. They had a the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests. They weren't threatened by Jesus. They just was indifferent to him. Come on, help me. You know what's wrong with us today? We got too many indifferent people. Just cold, lukewarm and cold, and Christmas don't really mean what it should mean, and they just lukewarm about the virgin birth. They're lukewarm about the deity of Christ. They're lukewarm about their salvation. They're lukewarm about church. They're lukewarm about tithing. They're lukewarm about soul winning. They're lukewarm about everything. So they're indifferent. Boy, I'll tell you what, I can preach to people that's cold and get them right. I can stir up hot people to get them hotter, but I can't do nothing with indifferent people. Amen. Hey, good preaching, brother. Then there's a third group here. I'm preaching on them, by the way. They called wise men. Now, I'm talking about in their occupation. They were scholars. See, but they wasn't wise about the things that we think about wisdom. They were wise about who Jesus was. Somebody help me preach it. And you know why they were there? They just saw his star. Woo! You know what they were looking for? They was not looking for Herod. They wasn't looking for popularity. They wasn't looking for church. They were looking for Jesus. Woo! Good preaching, Reverend. Yeah, boy, you know what? God's still looking for some wise men, some wise lady, some wise young people. God's still looking for people that's looking for him. Saying, somebody help me preach right there. By the way, we get all stirred up at Christmas. Everybody's stirred up at Christmas. A heathen is stirred up at Christmas. And I want you to know something. We need to be stirred up about what? It's more than eggnog. And some of you looked like you got your eggnog spiked last night. It's more than eggnog.
Amen, preacher.
It's more than a Christmas tree. It's more than gifts under the tree. It's about him. It's about finding him. It's about looking for him. Bless you, preacher. Who do I preach on today? Oh, I know some of you saying, I'm glad you finally got around to it. Can I ask you a question? What are you looking for?
Lord help us.
I just thought I'd preach on that.
Oh, yeah.
They were looking for him, but I want to ask you a question. What are you looking for?
Come on, man.
Hello? There's some of you in the middle of a trial right now. I want you to know something. You need more than Dr. Phil. You need more than Oprah. You need more than Ellen. You need somebody can come in the middle of your trial and take you through. And that is not no talk show host. That is not a preacher. That's not Joe Osteen. That's nobody but Jesus.
Amen.
What are you looking for your family? What are you looking for the rest of your life and the will of God? I want to ask you, what are you looking for? Let me show you four things that they were looking for and they found. Number one, they were looking to behold this curious phenomenon. Whew. Amen. I want y'all to know something, friend. Look at me, Lois. If somebody was born without man's work in it and without man being the vehicle of conception, I want to go find him.
Amen. Yeah.
That just flew over a bunch of y'all's heads right there. Amen. They were looking for this curious phenomenon. I'll say two or three things. The birth of Jesus was surrounded by scriptural prophecy. Let me quote a couple. Therefore, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Can I give you some more? Unto us, a son is born. Unto us a child is given, and a son is born, and the weight of the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Amen.
Micah even said where he's going to be born at. Amen. It was a specific place. Bethlehem. Bethlehem wasn't Judah or Jerusalem. Bethlehem was a little old town that was a poor town. I'm going to make a statement to you. Hear me. I'm going to slow down. Some of y'all looking for things, you better look at me. You can't look for him in the popular places. You can't look for him in the prestigious places. He ain't there. Is everybody said they looking for him, but they ain't looking in the right places. Somebody help me preach, Michael. Somebody help me. You know what's wrong with most folks? They want to be popular. They want to have prestige. They want to be the man, the man, the man. I want you to know something. That's never been my agenda. I tell you what my agenda is. It's Jesus Christ. It's the Lord, the Lamb, the love of God. My agenda is to see Jesus.
Amen.
Woo. Maybe you're going to say, by the way, it might be a doctor's office that you see him. It may be at a graveside where you'll see him. Somebody help me preach. You may find him somewhere you never thought you'd find him. But I don't care where you find him, just as long as you find him.
Amen. Amen.
Am I preaching all right, Chad?
Yes, sir.
Whew. Amen. He said, where am I going to find him? Oh, you find him in the canon of Scripture. Genesis, Revelation, he's there. You'll find him in creation. My Lord God, just look at the trees and look at nature. Man, you can't look at nature and not see Jesus. I'll tell you where else you find him. Somebody help me. You'll find him in conversion. How people get their life changed. I'm looking back at some of y'all. I knew you when you wasn't saved. Hey, Brother Roberts, I see you back there. You were an outlaw. You and Orly Rigsby was the two hardest guys I've ever had in my ministry to get saved. Just outlaws. Crazy. But I tell you what, he came by you, didn't he, Tom? Somebody say it. Now he's working in junior church. Now he's working with your children. Now he's a leader in a church. Now God's made a difference in his life. Somebody help me. I want you to know, you want to see him, you can see him in change. You're looking at a boy that was a bartender's son. You're looking at a boy that was on his way to hell. But Jesus came into my life. Woo. And then we've seen that shining preeminence, that star. I wrote this down. And I said, when you say this, shout right there. You ready to shout? Jeremy, you're awful quiet over there. Is that what babies do to you when you have one? Quieting you down? What are y'all? Okay. Okay. Let me give you this. Creation lights up when the Maker shows up. Woo! By the way, the Maker was there before there was a star.
Amen.
I'll give y'all something. I don't know if you like this or not. How many's ever read the Genesis account of creation? Raise your hand. You read it? Have you read it? Let me ask you if you read this. You're the smartest guy on staff. That don't speak well for us right now. You remember on creation? He hung the sun, the moon, the stars, done all that. He made a statement over it. You ever read this? You ever thought about this? And he said, and he made the stars also. Do you ever think about that? How many of y'all ever thought about that? Why would he say just a statement like that? Why not brag about the moon and the sun? He made the stars also. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about that? That's wild. I think I know. I think I know, Kerrigan. Because it was a preordained from the foundation star that was going to rest over where he was born. Somebody help me pray. I'm about to lose myself. He made the stars also. And what star was he talking about? He told about that star that was going to follow him his whole life. He's talking about that star that would rest over Bethlehem, that would rest over that area, that would pronounce that he's Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Lamb. Well, glory. I can't hardly stand myself right now. Am I preaching?
Amen.
Well, I better get with it because I got 3 more points. Amen. You can't shout about that. You ain't got no shout in you. By the way, when Jesus gets in your life, he lights everything up. Woo! Hey, by the way, some of you got dark past. Some of you got some dark past. You got skeletons in your closet that you ought to be glad they staying in there. But when he come in your life, he lit everything up. In the middle of your crisis, the darkest hour of your life, he lights everything up. Whew. And you know what he's looking for? He's looking for some bright Christians. He's looking for some bright churches. Am I preaching? I thought y'all done shout me down by now. Look at verse number 10. Let me give you a second point, Chad. Man, that first point was good. They were looking to behold the curious phenomenon. But verse number 10, they were looking to bow at his captivating presence. Look at verse 10. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Woo! Somebody help me. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. And look what they did. And fell down and worshiped him.
Amen.
When they found him, they got happy. The devil is busy. Let me give y'all something here. The devil is busy to try to make you unhappy. The world is busy to try to make you unhappy. But can I tell you, when Jesus shows up and you worship him, you get happy. Whew. Had a happy attitude. I like happy people. I do not want to be around a sourpuss. Is that politically correct to say that? Well, I said it anyway. I mean, I just don't like to be around little old sour people. Amen. Somebody asked me, they said, you got four staff preachers. And you seem to love them. You want to know? I want to tell you why they're so good. It's because I taught them. Okay, hallelujah. Nah. They're happy campers. That's the happiest bunch of people. Now, I think they're about half crazy. I know Chad's crazy. And I heard Jerry preach last Sunday night. I don't think he's crazy now. And Tyler, he's crazy. And Grant ain't got enough sense to come out of the rain. And he's crazy. But I'll tell you a little bit about them four boys. They come to work every day, happy, joyful, loving their preacher. Right there saying, I love God. Just happy, happy, happy. You said, why? Because they worshiping somebody. Because they met somebody. I'll tell you why you meet him. It'll change your attitude. Then I see their humble approach. They bow down. Hey, too many people bowing down to money.
Amen.
Bowing down to music.
Amen.
Bowing down to Facebook.
Right.
I tell you, we need to bow down. When you hear a song about Jesus, you need to bow down. When you hear a message about Jesus, you need to bow down. When you enter the throne room in prayer, you need to bow down. When he comes through in your trial, you need to bow down. The people who are not bowing are the people that just hadn't seen him. Somebody help me. Let me give you all this. Y'all want to know a little secret to me? Let me give you a little secret to ministry. See? The more he goes up, the more I go down. The more he goes up, the more I go down. And you can always see somebody that's not lifting him up. They're always trying to lift herself up and prove themselves and be something they really ain't. Wait a minute. Why ain't you shouting, Michael? Sitting over there like a dead log. Oh, y'all hush. I'm dying. Let me tell you something. You ever come, I love you. If you ever come and meet him, you'll be like Moses. If you see him, you'll have to get in a cleft of the rock. You'll be like Isaiah if you see him. You know what Isaiah said? He said, woe is me. You know what John the Baptist said? He said, I'm not even worthy to latch his shoes. Somebody help me. By the way, you preach good, Lizzie. I'm not even worthy to unsnap them. You know what's wrong with us? We think we're something. We think it's all going to end if we ain't around.
God help us.
I'm a preacher, been here for 42 years. I ain't wanting nobody to bow to me. And I don't want nobody to bow around me, but bow to him that I bow to.
Amen.
Am I preaching?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Am I doing all right, Lois? You ain't never said amen in 42 years. Come on, Lois. How many of y'all think I'm after everybody today? Amen. When disappointment comes, bow. Look at me. You're so proud in your big house. So proud with all your goods and your money. I want you to know something. That stuff ain't going with you when you get in the grave. You need to bow down. Why? Because he's wonderful. He's counselor. He's mighty God. He's everlasting Father. He's Prince of Peace. That's wonderful. He's good for the delights of life. As counselor, he's good for the diseases of life. As mighty God, he's good for the dangers of life. As everlasting Father, he's good for the duration of life. For Prince of Peace, he's good for the disturbance of life. Oh, it's all about him.
Amen.
That holy adoration. How many believe the main event ought to be the main event? It ought to be Jesus. Now let me go. I got two more and I got 4 minutes to do it. Look at verse number 11. They're looking for him to bring a consecrated presentation. Amen. The Bible said they opened the treasures. Why is it? Would y'all, some of y'all answer this to me? Why is it that in our church today, our churches, we got more takers than we got givers? Always wanting something, but don't want to give anything back. Amen. When these boys came, they had consecrated. They consecrated. Somebody help me. Presentation. They had sacrificial giving. Read it. They had symbolic gifts. Now, wait a minute. I'm trying to roll this thing home. What did they give? Hey, some of y'all won't even give a tithe. Some of you haven't even prayed about the building fund offering next week. I wonder if 100 couples would give Jesus $1,000 for Christmas next Sunday, where we'd be. You know where we are this morning? I'm going to give you some shouting ground. Our debt right now, and I don't want you to show it. You don't have to. Our debt right now is $498,000. 14 months ago, we owed $1,500,000. We had 66 point something. Somebody's giving. I wonder if 100 people in this room said, you know, I love Jesus, and I spend a lot of money on junk. I think I'll just write $1,000 to the building fund next week and tell him how much I love him. Amen. Amen. I was going to buy me a suit, but I'm going to take my suit money and give it to Jesus. Boy, it's quiet in there. Y'all were enjoying this for a while ago. They gave him gold. You know what gold symbolizes? It symbolizes his supreme rulership. They gave him frankincense. That talks about his sovereign reality. God is real. Amen. And they gave him frankincense. Myrrh, talking about his suffering redemption. You know what they were looking for? They were looking for 33 years later. When he was going to go and die. When he was going to stand before Pilate, be slapped, punched, stripped, nailed, forsaken, spit on. They're going to put him in a barred tomb. But them boys were looking beyond that. They were going to look to the day when he comes up out of the grave. Lastly, they were looking to become changed people. The first time they came and asked questions, they were asking for directions. Chad, the next time they came, in verse 12, they were given directions. Divine witness. And they were told to go back a different way. How many believe this? How many of y'all should believe this? How many believe if you ever meet him, you'll be different?
Amen.
Well, three of you.
Amen.
Let me ask you again. If you ever meet him, how many believe him, you'll be different?
Amen.
They went back a different way. John Smith's no longer a cusser. John Smith's no longer about booze. John Smith don't smoke dope. John Smith don't watch pornography. John Smith don't mistreat his wife. John Smith don't do ugly stuff. John Smith's attitude's right. Why? Because when I met him, he changed me.
Amen.
Hey. I'm done. Can I ask you the final question? I'm done. I'm going to be quiet now. Do this a real somber way. What are you looking for? You're looking for salvation? It's in Him. You're looking for satisfaction? It's in Him. Why is it so many people that's even called believers are not satisfied with anything? I mean, why is it? I mean, I just want to ask you, why? We ought to be satisfied. What are you looking for? To be sincerely in God's will? Well, wait a minute. I want to give you some advice. If you know God's will, you ought to do it.
Right. Amen.
Some of you people are ready to get called to preach. Why don't you come on up here and get called today if He's calling you? Somebody getting ready to go to mission. Why don't you get ready and go on? Just follow Him. Have I done all right, Chad? Chad? Buddy? One of these days I'm going to pass this torch to you. And we'll give you some advice. Buddy? Ready? Keep looking for Him. Hey, Michael, you woke up now? I'm kidding you. Michael's a son to me. If y'all, I wasn't being ugly to him. Michael, I heard you preach Wednesday night. God has got His hand on you. And I want you to know something, son. Here's all I want you to do. The rest of your days, don't look for popularity, prestige. You live for Jesus. Because I got a feeling you're going to be one of the next great evangelists. I believe that. Hey, young man, I've heard you preach recently. By the way, I like that suit. Usually fat people don't look good but them kind. How many of y'all believe I woke up on the right wrong side of the bed today? Listen to me, boy. I love you. I want you to know something. What you need to do rest of your ministry is look for Jesus. Listen here, 130 pound. I don't even like him. My leg weighs more than he does. I've watched you. You're going to be something for God. But you won't be anything for God if you and your wife to be ain't looking for Jesus. Amen. Am I preaching? Somebody help me here.
Amen.
You teenagers, look at me. You're the finest teenagers in any church I ever met in my life. By the way, I saw you on social media act like an idiot. Yeah. I'm after everybody today. You said about talking about wearing a good clothes and got spaghetti or something at lunch. What was it?
Oh, yeah.
Y'all think I don't watch your social media? Hold me. Stand up, young man. It's one of the finest little teenagers I ever met in my life.
Amen.
I love him. Got a mean wife, good daddy. This is me, boy. Oh, screw you. I said wife. I'm talking about mama. Excuse me. You married?
No.
Look at me, boy. Look at me. You're making us proud down there at the school.
Thank you.
Because you know what? Just keep looking to Jesus. I don't mean to get so personal. What are you looking for? There's some of you that never come to the altar ought to come down here this morning and say, you know, I've been looking at everything in the world to make me happy. Why don't you today say, I'm coming to Him? If you're lost today, I want you to know He's here. Look for Him. Hey, some of you, you're lonely. Won't you come and look for Him? Hey, some of you in the middle of a mess, why don't you come and look for Him? What are you looking for? More money? More music? More fame? How about just coming? And I want to look for Him. Are you here with me? What happens when I take vacation? I get strength and I preach too long. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to, please, don't move, don't jump around unless you have to. How many right now know you've been saved? Folks are coming to the altar without the invitation. Know you've been saved. Raise your hand. Hold them up high. How many right now, thank you, don't know you're saved? If you don't know you're saved and you don't want to go to hell, raise your hand and say, I don't know I'm saved, but I want you to pray for me. Slip it up. Come on. God bless that hand. Anybody else? How many right now? Come on now. How many you have made a mess of yourself, your life? Because you've been looking in the wrong places. How many of you would admit you're in the midst of a crisis and you're not looking to the right thing? How many people, raise your hand right now. Just say, pray for me, preacher. I'm in the middle of a crisis. Raise it up. Raise it up. I see them. I see them. I see them. Others. Preacher, I got a mess on my hands. Slip it up. How many right now, there's some junk in your trunk that you know ought not be there. I see the hand. Say, preacher, pray for me. If people come to the altar, stand with me. If you just need to come and have a talk with Him, it might be a good morning. Father, thank you for this word today. Thank you for what you've done for us. And we praise you and honor you in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen. They ought to be a bunch of mamas and papas, dad and moms. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Happiness?
Holy, holy, I will bless His name again. He is here. Listen close.
Let me say something to you and I'm done. I had people come to my office on a daily basis, bewildered, confused, lacking direction. And you know what the problem is? They're looking all in all the wrong places to try to find joy. It can't be found but in one thing, Jesus. Well, I'm done. Chad, would you get up here? Dismiss. No wife, do you? Okay, good. How many glad for Jesus this morning? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Give me time, what bucket?
Yes, sir. I know we miss preacher when he goes on vacation, but man, when he comes back, I like it a lot. Amen. Amen. Come back tonight, and I'm just thankful. Amen. That message was for me this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. And Lord, I'm just amazed, Father, that when we could not get to you, you came to us in that little manger in a little town called Bethlehem. Father, I can't get over that. And you did it all to seek and to save that which was lost. And Father, I thank you so much for that. May we always be looking unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Father, I pray that you be with us now as we go our separate ways. Bring us back safely tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.